You make this rather snappy, won't you? I have some very heavy thinking to do before 10 o'clock.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Get It Right, Texoma, with the Texoma Trio, Mike Hendren, Terry McAdams, Trey Sarala. How is everybody? Welcome back again. Love to have you here.
When you ask how's everybody, are you expecting the audience to answer back? Or?
Well, you talk to them, you know.
But you can provide if you want to drop a comment and says, I'm doing just fine.
Yeah, but wait a minute. Depending on when they see this, they may not be doing just fine.
Well, they may be.
They may have done fine, but not be doing very good by the time when we recorded this by the same seat. They may be doing well, or vice versa.
Could be lousy.
Yeah, you never know.
Could be doing really well.
I knew a guy that all the time when you'd say, you'd ask him, say, hey, how's it going? He'd say, not worth the shit, but thanks for asking. That was his comeback.
It was
pretty funny, actually. Yeah.
Well, we got a few things to talk about. Now, what we talk about on this show, by the way, we're coming to you from the MacTech Solutions Studios. MacTech Solutions is located 4020 Ray Road, Wichita Falls, Texas. 4020 Ray Road, Finishing Touch Plaza. Most people refer to it locally as Suite 3B. Open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. So if you're in the local area here in Texoma, Texas, Southern Oklahoma, you've got an Apple device that you need repair on, this is the place to bring it. You need to purchase a new Apple device. Maybe you're in the market for a new computer, a new tablet, whatever. This is the place to come and get that device.
And right also, y'all do business applications. You do some networking and that sort of thing.
Oh, yeah, we do. We take care of our business customers as well.
There's more to it. It's not just a retail location. It's retail and business
side.
B2B. B2B, managed services. We do phone service. Say a printer, set up the printer. We just manage your network. Just all the IT stuff. So we're an IT company. We just happen to prefer and lean to the Apple side of the world.
Apple leaning. Yeah, there you go. They're Apple adjacent.
But we do embrace Windows as well, believe it or not. We actually do have a lot of customers that are Windows based things. Now the one thing that I have yet to do is Android. It just has not been presented to me in a way that I needed to even worry about it. There may be a day still, but
Terry's wanting somebody to come up one day and go, Terry, I present you the Android.
Let me out.
That's what it sounded like.
So there you go.
Oh, gosh.
Bring it to me. Android.
Yes.
Hey, the Wichita Falls Police Department having a community event. This is going to happen at McDonald's, Kemp Boulevard, March the 23rd.
This may have already happened by the time this came out.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to talk about it.
Okay.
And people know that the police are doing these things. There's coffee and cops. Mm-hmm. There's several things that the Wichita Falls Police Department has done to do community outreach.
Right.
And this they specifically are holding this at a McDonald's because they want to make it more of a kid-friendly event.
Exactly.
It's a great idea. Let me tell you something. I'm a huge proponent of DARE programs and things like this because I think the more positive interaction that children can have with police officers, especially children, but adults as well, the better off they are.
Yes.
Unfortunately, we have too many kids that the only time they ever see a cop is when somebody that they love is going to jail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mom, dad, cousin, aunt, uncle, grandma, grandpa, somebody is being hauled off in handcuffs, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only interaction. So when that's the only interaction, and especially if they live in a household where the police are not liked or not well talked about, are not well respected, it furthers that animosity. I'm telling you, I've said this for a long time. These race hustlers, the LeBron Jameses and all that are telling young black men that you have a target on your back, they're doing a disservice.
Oh,
because the fact of the matter is, if I thought at 16 years old, if I truly believed in my heart that every time I got pulled over by a police officer, that I was going to get drug out and there's going to be a fight, why not fight? Seriously.
Yeah.
I think those people are doing more danger to those kids that they're trying to pull this bullshit on than they are helping. The fact is, if you are involved with a police officer on a business side, in other words, you get pulled over, you're investigated for something like that, the best thing you can do is be compliant and respectful. And 99%, 98% of those police officers will be the same way. Mm-hmm. But understand, They've got a gun, they've got a badge, and they have the power of the government behind them. Yeah. They are in charge at that particular time.
Right.
Now, if one of them roughs you up or does something, then there's then that's you have a right to go out and go after that person from a legal standpoint afterwards, and you should. And by the way, departments, other police officers, don't put up with that shit in your ranks. Don't protect people simply because they do the same job you do. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, a thin blue line.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Bullshit. Yeah. If just because somebody does the same job as you do, military does the same way. And by the way, I have a massive amount of respect for police and military, but both of those professions, they tend to do a thing. This guy wears a uniform just like I wear, so therefore, no.
If it's a
bad person wearing that uniform,
yes,
then they're a bad person. So anytime you get a chance to go out and have a positive interaction with police, and once again, I applaud the Wichita Falls Police Department and for doing this. Anytime you have a positive interaction with police, take the chance, the opportunity to do that, and also take your kids, take your grandkids.
Well, you look at the number of people in law enforcement and military across this country, and I think it's very safe to say 98.5% of the people that are involved in these professions are good, decent people who just want to serve and just want to do a good job.
Yeah.
That's it. There's a small percentage, less than 2% of the population that are involved in the ranks of law enforcement or military that are those bad people in a uniform like you talk about.
Yeah.
And same thing, though, with the general public when it comes to the police. 97-98% of the public out here have no beef with the police, nothing, no animosity toward cops, none whatsoever. And so there's no need for an officer to, you know, approach everybody as if they're, you know, some sort of, you know, hateful individual who's going to try to do them harm. 97-98% of us are not going to be that way with the police officer.
Especially if you're towards each other. 97 or 98% of people of the population in America, let's say, because there's other countries that it's not this high, are good people.
Yes.
They just want to get along. They just want things to go right.
Yeah. Well, I've talked about this a couple of shows ago that I'd like to see some sort of more formalized auditing of not just police department, but of all city and state and whatever different
governmental services.
Right. That not necessarily internally, because clearly there are audits that are done within police departments, within other state, city and local and all of that.
Something more third party.
But outside, how they interact with the public, that I don't think is checked very often, if at all. And what we've ended up in a situation now is because of YouTube. I think it obviously clearly grew it. But the auditor community on YouTube. Yeah. And I've watched a lot of them, and I don't always agree with their tactics, because a lot of them are wanting to poke, you know, go in and make a scene. But just simply showing up in order to do it, to see how they're treated right off the bat when they are doing something, when they're filming. Sure. That's usually that in of itself creates a lot of concern and I get it, but that is apparently, and I'm not an attorney, but I play one on. No, anyway,
but I did stay at a Holiday Inn last night.
That's it. But anyway, they're going in and they're. But apparently, it's legal to do. Mm-hmm. And there's even been cases where they go into a post office, and the postmaster general has a on the board says that you can. There's a policy letter that stated that public in that public area inside the post office there can be video. And so,
why couldn't there be? It's tax supported. There's nothing. There's no national security risk or anything like that. Right. It's taxpayer supported. You should be able to have video in place like that.
So, but they don't. But the local people are apparently not trained properly and all that. But anyway, my point of all of that is that I think there needs to be more accountability from the reference point of a citizen that needs to be done. There needs to be a secret shoppers, if you will.
Well, I think too. A lot of times when people go into situations where they're, you know, they walk in with a camera and they're shooting video of whatever organization, police, whatever it may be. Unfortunately, there are people out here who just seek to go in and they want to create some kind of drama.
And
they're looking for 15 minutes of fame, and they see a YouTube platform or whatever other video platform as a means of getting that. And so they go into a situation with a deliberate intent to start something where nothing exists.
Well, right.
And again, I think those people are in the minority. I think those are few and far between. But it does happen. And so I think that element gives a lot of people, especially if you're in law enforcement or you're in a government position, you get uncomfortable when you see somebody just randomly just show up with a cell phone or whatever and start shooting video. The place you immediately go to in your mind is they're here to start some kind of trouble.
Well, then your camera on, if this police officer feels that way, then their camera.
They've got a body camera as well.
I know.
And they can choose when to turn that on and off too. So most of them, not all of them, I guess. Some police departments give the police officer the ability.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, but in light of some of the things that have happened, especially in the last 4, 5, 6 years, yeah. I think the body cams on the cops are probably a really good idea.
On the whole, yes, it should be. But if you're not confident in what you're doing or you are doing something wrong, well, then you're on the taxpayer dime at the time. So,
well, like I'm saying, this is using the police logic against them on this. And I've seen this when police said they're against the body cams. It's like, well, wait a minute. How many of you are trained to say, hey, wait a minute, why won't you let me search you? If you don't have anything to hide, why would you let me?
Yep.
Okay. Well, Mr. Police Officer, if you don't have anything to hide, why wouldn't you have that body camera on?
Right.
I mean, it works both ways.
Right. And don't get me wrong, I am absolutely 100% behind what police officers are trained and what their mission is.
I think that they
have a hard job.
If I were a police officer, I would want the body camera as an added layer of protection for me. I'm doing my job to the best of my ability, and I'm trying to say and do all the right things, I'm trying to be the kind of public servant I'm expected to be, I would want that on me.
And I'm paid to be, by the way, as
paid
well.
Paid to be.
Right. So I understand, this is not, it's just like military. We use the word servant, and I get that, but it's not for free. Nobody's doing this stuff for free. This isn't a volunteer army or volunteer police force.
Well, it's voluntary
to get in, but not a volunteer.
Right.
It's voluntary, not a volunteer.
We're not conscripting people into the military. Yeah. We don't draft anymore, not yet.
It's a voluntary force, not a volunteer.
Although there's some argument that bringing back the draft wouldn't be a bad thing for some of these little
actually, there
punks
have been
out here.
Situations where people were brought back on active duty. Mm-hmm. Somewhat involuntarily. They committed at some point to this.
Yeah.
But when you retire, technically, like when I retired, I was on the hook for another 10 years.
Yeah, you're on like, reserve.
On a reserve status that they could have, in theory, called me back at any time. Isn't that technically not a draft? I agreed to it somewhere along the line.
Yeah.
I may not have read all of it, but I certainly had
it. It was in the fine print.
Right. So as far as law enforcement goes, I get the idea too
that
if you don't have support from your chain of command and the videos are selectively used, and then your whole chain of command, your city or whatever, does not back you when you've, making a mistake, a small mistake is one thing, but for it not to be considered in context, I think where the problem is with a lot of people.
If you're going to use the video, when the cops had the body cameras, if you're going to use the video as a defense, an affirmative defense of whatever has happened, you got to see the whole video. You got to have it in its proper context. And the only way to have it in its proper full context is to see the full video.
Well, here's my thing. I believe that because, once again, this has worked the other direction as well. There have been times over the years, and not police necessarily, but prosecutors have done that where they've taken video out of context to try to show evidence towards something.
Sure.
I believe that there ought to be some sort of rule that says, like, 2 minutes before and after. So if there's a video, we don't need to show if it's a 2-hour video and as a budget, somebody's riding down around in the car not doing anything.
No,
it's a different
story.
But if you want to say, okay, I want to put this into evidence, then you must show the first 2 minutes and the 2 minutes before and the 2 minutes after.
Well,
or come up with a time frame.
Well, and be able to offer the entire video available for the jury to be able to review and all of that.
Sure.
But, so the bottom line is, I think transparency is absolutely in the best interest of everybody.
And by the way, that includes the public. It is good when a police officer comes up and you're being pulled over, put your hands on the wheel. The safer you can make that officer feel, once again, almost all of them are good people. Yeah. And they want to do their job and go home safe, okay? Yeah. And the safer you can make them feel when they understand that you're not going to be a threat, the better off the interaction's going to go. And we look at how many interactions there are with police officers and citizens in a year. It's millions and millions of interactions, and almost all of them go really well.
Yes.
Right. Just like you hear about the bad ones.
Oh, of course you do.
But you're not. But you don't hear about all the millions and millions of really good ones ones. They're just we're not. You hear about the officer that saved somebody's life. You hear about those, and you hear about the bad ones. You don't hear about the ones where somebody comes up, you get a ticket, and you go on your way.
Right, and I've been pulled over a few times, and I'm right on 287 there as you're coming up on by Winthorst Road, old Winthorst Road, by FedEx and Love's Truck Stop. I've been pulled over right there.
Hyper-local, by the way. Yes, in case you're watching and you're not from the Wichita Falls area, you don't have a clue what the hell a Winthorst Road is.
I was pulled over, and my wife is always feels like she's harassed when she gets pulled over. But I got pulled over, and I did all the stuff, and I had my license out, ready to go. And I, as soon as the police officer got up there, I told her that I have concealed carry and all that. She goes, okay, and then just... let me have your license. And then went back, looked me up, I guess, came back, says, well, I'm going to give you a warning today. And that's it. I mostly get warnings. It's because I've always been extremely respectful.
Accommodating.
Yeah. Yes. Well, yeah. I can't understand what some folks might feel because of race or whatever, but I don't think I have that same threat. I'm always nervous, I can tell you that.
Well,
I'm not worried about getting shot.
I think some people ascribe, well, and there's been a study on this. That Black Harvard professor who went out and thought that the study was going to show one thing, and it turned out it showed a completely opposite thing when it came to black people and the police. And let me tell you something. I know it's easy, and I know it's easy to ascribe that something happened because you think somebody was out to get you or because you've been fed that kind of stuff. I got pulled over 6 times between the time I was 16 and 18. Yeah. I was pulled over about 8 times. I was pulled over 6 times for bullshit. Absolute bullshit stuff. I was in the wrong place. I was doing, stuff like that. I'm not black, but I got pulled over. Yeah. Now, I didn't jump out and want to fist fight the cops, though. So that's the thing. I was compliant. And I was a little mouthy at times. Like, why'd you pull me over? What are you doing here? I said, why'd you pull me over? It's America. I'm driving.
You're articulable.
It's in America, and I'm driving. I'm a legal driver in America. Why'd you pull me over?
Yeah.
But the smart thing, what I always was smart enough to do is when it got serious, I shut my mouth. Yeah. I knew when to shut up. But I did state my case a little bit, going, hey, why'd you pull me over?
Yeah.
It's America. Why are you here? Because it's America. It's a public street. I pay taxes, or my parents pay taxes. Or whatever it was. So I'm simply saying is just because you have an interaction that you don't feel that you feel is a bullshit interaction, and I've had some of those, is look, I'm the white guy. And I've had bullshit interactions with police officers too.
Yeah.
It's not just because you're race.
Yeah. I know I've you mentioned, mentioning that you're a concealed carry holder. The couple times that I've been pulled over in recent years, maybe 3, I've always just, when I hand the officer my license, I hand them my concealed carry license at the same time. And only once have I ever had an officer ask me, do you have a weapon on you right now? And I said, yes, I do. I told him where I was carrying. He said, okay. And that was it. And then I was very careful not to act like I'm reaching for anything, or doing anything stupid, And I did have one particular instance where we were had a house that I had listed, and it was a property that was formerly a bank owned property and had been broken into quite a bit, and the place had been all copper had been stolen out of the house, the typical things you'd find in a house like that's been abandoned for a while, and I'm there one day checking on the property because that's something I do frequently. When I list a property, when you list a property with me, I'm going to check in on it. If you're not living there, I'm going to stop by daily and check on it. And I had stopped to check on the property just to make sure everything was secure. A police officer stops, wants to know what I'm doing there. You know, I'm not in a uniform. He didn't know, you know, introduced myself, gave him my business card, you know, and as we're walking up to the house, I did tell him, I said, by the way, I do have a license to carry, and I am carrying a concealed firearm right now. Okay.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Usually you're not about to shoot somebody if you announce it to the guy. Yeah. You know,
but I wanted him to know up front, hey, I've got an LTC, and I'm carrying, and the reason I'm carrying right now is because I don't know what you're walking into.
It's common courtesy and it's accommodation.
Right.
When you have that, usually most interactions go well. So,
Just trying to keep people safe.
Everybody try to be accommodating.
I want to jump down to something real quick here because this is huge for us here in Texas in this regard. Mitch McConnell is stepping down as Senate Majority Leader.
Yes.
And or I guess in this case it'd be Senate Minority Leader.
Right. He's got the Republican leader in the Senate.
Republican leader in the Senate. And one of the top three candidates for the job is Texas Senator John Cornyn, who I think is probably the single worst possible candidate for the job, simply because it's just going to be Mitch McConnell 2.0. It's not going to be anything different.
Except for he's not going to lock up.
Yeah, he's probably not likely to freeze up on us. Not yet. But it's, guys, we need real leadership in the Senate within the Republican Party. John Cornyn ain't it. I'm sorry. He's just not it. The guy is too much of a rhino. In case you don't know what that is, R-I-N-O, Republican in name only.
So what are you saying?
Anybody but John Cornyn.
Steve Daines from Montana is who Trump has endorsed.
Yes.
And I don't really, to be fair, I don't know much about Steve Daines.
I know very little about Steve Daines. I know that he's definitely not John Cornyn. And I think he's definitely not Mitch McConnell. He is a Trump-friendly candidate, if you want to apply that term to him.
Yeah.
But I also think that you've got a better shot with someone like Daines of actually getting things moving through the Senate that address issues that conservative Republican constituents want to see addressed.
Yeah, I think Thune,
and we're not seeing that with,
is one of them. Is one of the top
John Thune of South Dakota.
Yes. Yeah, he's one of the top prospects. Somebody like Ted Cruz is not. Ted Cruz is too polarizing. He won't be.
I was going to ask that question. Yeah. Why
he's
not
way
him?
Too polarizing.
Is he?
Yeah. Now, what do you think? What makes Ted Cruz polarizing?
Well, no. Not from my perspective,
right?
But from the perspective of trying to wrangle people from 50 different states, because you have to think about it. A Texas conservative. You have Texas Democrats that are more conservative than New York Republicans.
Oh, no question.
So you see what I'm saying? So when you have somebody who's really far on the conservative scale, say if here's your conservative scale, and say you're going to say you're a Republican, and this is a, I don't want to use the word liberal, but a more liberal leaning Republican and more conservative leaning Republican, you're going to need somebody who's more in the middle to be able to bridge that gap. Right. If you have somebody way over here, or if you have somebody way over here, the other side of that political spectrum is not going to feel like they're going to be represented. You almost have to have a middle of the road, moderately conservative Republican to run to be the Speaker of the House or to the Senate Majority Leader or whatever.
And when I tell people I'm a conservative, here's mainly what I mean. I believe that 98.9% of my life, the government at any level, local, state, or federal, has no business being involved in it whatsoever. 98.9% of my life, you have no business having any oversight, say, or input into unless I ask you for it. Otherwise, get out of my way, move aside, and let me get on with life and do what I got to do. That's what I mean by conservative. And I think that's what most people that are conservative believe is we want government out of the way to the greatest degree possible, period. Yes, there are some things government can do very well. Your local municipalities are really good at maintaining, or they should be, maintaining your streets and your infrastructure and collecting the garbage perhaps.
And
things
water,
like that.
Water
delivery systems, sewer removal, sewage removal from your home and your residence and your businesses and your apartment complexes and whatnot. There are some things they do very well. The federal government, national defense. Okay?
Well, supposed to be. Except for around the southern border.
Right. There are some things that that a government entity ought to be charged with doing that they should be able to do fairly well and efficiently just because of scale. But when it comes to most things in our lives individually, we want the government out of the way. Yeah. Move. Over. Now.
Yeah, don't
go.
Don't do everything on my behalf.
We don't need it. I don't need a babysitter. I'm a grown man. I can take care of me. I don't need a babysitter. Period. And that's what I feel like a lot of people feel like government has become, is they're just your babysitter. And you take someone like a Mitch McConnell, who's basically sat there in the Senate now for many, 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 many years and basically ignored every conservative Republican in the country in most respects. We don't want another one of those people. That's why we don't want John Cornyn. And he's one of us. He's a Texan. He's our senator. We don't want him.
Yeah.
Well, let me say that apparently Trump has called John Cornyn a rhino.
Yeah.
But he's also this John Barrasso.
Wyoming guy. Yeah.
Trump last year called him a flunky for Mitch McConnell. So Trump didn't like him either.
Barrasso, Cornyn, and Thune right now are kind of the leading candidates in that to take over McConnell's deal.
Right.
And of the three, I like Thune the best of those three.
Yeah.
But like I said, Trump has said that Steve Daines is who he wants to see.
So, yeah. Well, we'll see how that all plays out. All right, I don't know. Why don't we talk
about Haiti real quick, and then we'll do some of this other stuff, because all this other stuff, okay. I think we can
probably got 5-6.
Yeah, because the other stuff is not. Well, actually, real quick, let's talk about Manuel Carrillo Jr. He's a little kid who's going to turn boxing. He's going to turn pro in boxing. Manuel Carrillo Jr. is a local Wichita Falls native boxer. And he went to the 2024 USA Boxing National Opening in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Yeah.
And split his bouts in the U.S. Boxing National, losing in the semifinal round. So he made it all the way to the semifinals. This kid's a good boxer, and he's decided to turn pro. So we want to wish him the best. It'd be great to see a pro boxer from Wichita Falls, and he's going to make his living boxing.
Awesome.
Professional sport.
Awesome.
I thought that was pretty cool.
Awesome. Well, you talked about Haiti. The headline you've got here is Insanity in Haiti.
It is. It's nuts there. It's going crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Which, by the way, real quick, before we get way deep in the weeds on it, I just want to say something. I generally am big fan of, if we have Americans that are trapped in a bad situation somewhere,
yes,
we have an obligation to try to go in there and move heaven and earth to get them out.
That's right.
Where I have a problem is, Haiti's been on the don't travel list for like 4 years. Mm-hmm. So if you've traveled to Haiti in the last couple of years, how much resources do we need to spend on getting you out because you were told not to go there? Mm-hmm. So anyhow, just throwing that out there.
Yeah. What's happening in places? Well, what's happening in places like Haiti? We here in America, I think most of us here in America, we don't really have a frame of reference for just how bad some parts of the world are.
Oh, yeah, no.
Just how insane they can get. We are so used to very stable government for the most part. We are so used to having every creature comfort addressed and delivered to us.
Where you can get food.
You can get food. You can get clean water. You walk in your house, you flip the switch, the lights come on.
But even if you're homeless in America, even if you're the poorest person in America.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're ambulatory, you can get food.
That's right.
Somebody's going to feed you. The government's going to feed you. A church is going to feed you.
That's
somebody
right.
walking down the street's going to feed you.
Somebody out there is going to help.
Somebody will give you food. You will not starve. If you are ambulatory in America and you want food, you will not starve to death in the United States of
That's
America
right.
in 2024 That's or right. 2023 or 2019 or 2018. Go back for probably the last 40 years, maybe 50 years. Somebody in a community will feed you as long as you can get to them.
And we had
you're not a jerk and get yourself
if you're a jerk,
they'll give you the food.
I mean, somebody's going to feed you something. I mean, right. if nothing else, go punch a cop. They'll feed you in jail. I mean, I'm not suggesting doing that, by the way. But I'm just simply saying, you're right. We're not used to people where there is no food, there is no water, there is no nothing,
right.
and you have these violent criminals, these warlords. that kill people discriminately, just don't care.
Well, you're not.
Well, Haiti, Sudan,
parts of Ethiopia,
Republic of Congo.
Yeah.
You know, you places in the world where literally you step out of line one little bit and somebody with an automatic weapon is going to kill you.
Even if you don't step out of line, you may just be in the wrong place at the wrong time for them.
Exactly. We are so accustomed to here in America, everything's very stable and very straightforward and very easy for the most part. We really don't understand just how much of a hotbed some of these places become. And I think some Americans will travel to places like Haiti. Oh, it's some sort of, you know, they see it as something exotic, some sort of exotic trip. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. Have you not paid attention to the news? Have you not paid attention to the travel warnings? Have you not? Why would you go there? You know, I mean, frankly, for me, Mexico is on my I ain't going list.
Yeah, I have no desire to go to Mexico.
I know a lot of people that right now are planning vacations to Mexico, and I'm like, why? When you know full well that the government of Mexico ain't really in charge of Mexico.
No, there's too much corruption there.
A lot of corruption. The drug cartels have a control of very large swaths of the country. You're not. I'm sorry. I don't think as an American you're safe in Mexico. I don't feel like I would not feel safe there. I would not feel safe taking my family there. I don't feel like, and I think Haiti's on that list too. Of places where
Haiti's much worse than Mexico.
Though. Oh, I think
at least in Mexico, I mean, there is some semblance of government, and there really are most. Places in Mexico would be safe,
yeah.
But you just don't know when it's going to pop off.
Well, you don't want to.
That's the difference. You don't know when it's going to pop off.
Yeah, it's like you know the people in Mexico are the citizens are probably going to be very kind to you and very nice to you and very accommodating to you. And as far as a tour, hell, they want your tourist dollars. They love it. They, you know, Americans are capable of spending tons of money there, and they love that. But you like Trey just said, you never know when something's going to pop off. You're in the wrong place, wrong time, at the wrong moment, and there's no way out. And by the way, you go to a place like Mexico, you can't be armed there. Can't defend yourself there.
There's a movie called No Escape. It's actually a pretty good movie. And it's got, he's a guy who's got a real nasally voice. He's from Texas. He and his brother are both actors. I just lost his name. Anyhow, it's called No Escape. It's a really good movie. And it's about an American family moving to a country, and they don't really say exactly what country it is, but it's next to Vietnam, so it's an Asian country. And all of a sudden, civil war breaks out as soon as they show up.
Yeah.
War. I just had his name in my head, but anyhow. But that's the problem is in Haiti, it has popped off. It's gone crazy there, mm-hmm. And people are desperate right now. People are trying to get out of there. People are starving to death. People have no water. They have no sewer there. Places are getting set on fire. It's bad, and it's not too far from us.
Well, and even closer still, Cuba. How many people drowned trying to make that 90-mile trek from Cuba to Miami in a makeshift boat, trying to get away from Cuba's Castro and communism?
Yeah, well,
how many people drowned trying to make that trip?
DeSantis has already put more. Owen Wilson, that's his name. I knew I was going to come with Timmy. No Escape. Owen Wilson's the actor, the lead character.
Gotcha.
Ron DeSantis has already put, I think, Florida Fish and Game people on the coast down there to help stop that sort of stuff. So, anyhow.
Yeah. All right. Well, guys, we're going to break here. It's been wonderful. Thank you for joining us. Obviously, if you're watching us, you're seeing us on YouTube, so you know we're there. But you can also get us on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts as well. Please like and share our Facebook page, and we want to hear back from you. We want your comments. We want your feedback on the show, and we would also encourage you to, take advantage of the sponsors on this show, which happen to be the three of us guys sitting right here at the moment. Eddie Hill's Fun Cycles, that's Trey's business. MacTech Solutions, that's Terry's business. I'm a real estate agent with Anchored Realty here in Wichita Falls. Also own a couple of other things. One of them is Lolly and Pop Sweet Shop, which you can also find us on Facebook as well and online at lpsweet.com.
When are you going to bring some for us to eat on?
You know what?
We need to taste test.
I'm going to have to.
That's
a taste test.
I'm going to have to hook you guys up with the best chocolate chip cookies you've ever had in your life.
Okay.
And so, I'm a cookie monster. I love cookies. Right. That's my favorite. So, over if any sweets, mm-hmm. I could kind of honestly, I can kind of take it or leave it. Most sweets, mm-hmm. candy, cakes, and pies and stuff like that. But cookies, I'm a mark. I can't cookies.
And then we have to do the milk test.
We're going to have to put down like a plastic table cover over this thing.
Cookie Monster was my favorite Sesame Street character.
That's it. We're going to have to start. You need to bring that, and we need to a quick taste test.
On the air.
We'll do it.
We'll do it. Yeah. We'll do it. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, let's be careful out there. We'll see you down the road. Take care.